Tonight, AEW paid tribute to John Huber, Brody Lee, who, as we all know by now, tragically passed away on Saturday at the age of 41. Tonight, they called it a celebration of life. You saw it in the graphic. You heard Jim Ross mention that a couple of times during the show. It was less a matter of mourning and more a matter of celebrating the man's life, celebrating his legacy. It was a life well lived, however short it may have been. Too short. Far too short. This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, December 30th. The final recap for 2020, which can't leave us soon enough. You know, coming into a show like this, that it's going to just rip you to shreds. I can't imagine what it was like for the people who were in the building tonight, the people who knew him, his family, his friends, the other members of the Dark Order. You can tell how emotional it was for them. As a fan, though, even if you didn't know him personally, if you've seen him, if you've followed him on social media, if you knew anything about him, just the fact that you have a guy with two young children, 41 years old, you know, again, not much older than I am, who is here one day and perfectly fine and seemingly perfectly healthy and gone the next. And it's just, it's hard to accept that. You know, it's hard to wrap your head around how something like that can happen. When you watch a show like this tonight, you know, you think you're prepared for it, and then you watch it, and you see his son, you see his wife, the segment at the end of the show. I was okay until the end of the show, and then when they had that segment at the end with Tony Khan presenting him with the TNT title, man, it was just, I don't know. If you're a wrestling fan, if you are a WWE fan, unfortunately, over the years, we've seen a whole bunch of tribute shows to a lot of guys who died way too young. Owen Hart. Chris Jericho name-dropped Owen Hart on the show tonight. You know, Owen Hart was 34 years old. He was younger than John Huber was when he passed away in a totally senseless accident. And I'll never forget, you know, my entire, if I live to be another, you know, however many more years old I live to be, I will never forget where I was the night that that happened, and also watching the next night when they put together that tribute show to Owen Hart. And I don't think I've been as emotional for a show like that since Owen Hart. Some people might say Eddie Guerrero. This was the closest thing in terms of, as I'm watching it, just that raw kind of emotion. And tonight, you know, it wasn't about championships. It wasn't about work rate. It wasn't about ratings. You know, I had a couple of people message me, do you think they're going to get a million viewers? Who cares? If they get 300 viewers or a million viewers, it doesn't matter. That's not what tonight was about. It wasn't about any of that stuff. It was about a roster of people, a roster of men and women who came together to pay tribute to their friend, to their colleague, in some cases, to their mentor. A lot of people there looked up to him. That's what tonight was about. What we know, just to kind of recap here, because I think we all kind of know the basic information by now, you know, as far as what happened, there are still a lot of questions that we may never have answers to. I'm not sure the family will ever have answers. Why? You know, why did this have to happen? What we know is that one day John Huber was fine, and the next day he was not. One day he was recording a podcast with Tony Schiavone and Aubrey Edwards on the AEW YouTube channel. And he was laughing and he was joking, and, you know, he was talking about the dog collar match that he had had with Cody, his last match on Dynamite back on October 7th for the TNT title. Talking about the dog collar match. And if you were wondering, you know, why a dog collar match? Some people may have asked that question. Was it just being done for the sake of being done? And he shed some light on why on that podcast. Apparently, the dog collar match between Roddy Piper and Greg Valentine from 1983 was his all-time favorite match. He watched that match hundreds of times. And so when they were kind of sitting around trying to figure out what kind of match they could do for the big blow-off, he jokingly said, well, what about a dog collar match? And everybody just kind of looked at him and said, yeah, that sounds good. Let's make it a dog collar match. That was it. That was the only explanation for why that was a dog collar match, because it was his favorite match and he wanted to try to, I guess, kind of live up to the legend of the first one that he remembers seeing. He had no idea Greg Valentine was being flown in for the show that night. If you remember, they put Greg the Hammer Valentine in the empty audience to sit there and watch the match. And he told the story on the podcast when the match was over that, you know, being backstage and Greg Valentine is complimenting him and Cody on, you know, how great he thought the match was. And he was just on cloud nine because, you know, this is somebody that he grew up idolizing and watching. And now he's paying him a compliment. And you could tell just listening to him tell the story that it meant the world to him. He was on that podcast laughing and joking. And if you didn't see it, by the way, you can see the whole video of it. It is up on the YouTube channel, AEW's YouTube channel. It's about an hour long. It is worth going out of your way to see. It's sad to watch when you know that the very next day he fell ill. These are some of the details that we have now learned. Yeah, he was talking on that podcast. He said that he rides Peloton a lot. And a lot of people have been doing that during the pandemic because gyms are closed and everything. So what do? They buy exercise equipment and stationary bikes and Peloton, you know, the big craze. And apparently he was doing a lot of that. And he said for the first time, I don't know how many days before this happened, but he goes, you know, recently for the very first time, I only made it 20 minutes and I couldn't do it anymore. I had to quit. He said that his body just couldn't handle it. And he attributed it to, well, maybe I really just kind of left a piece of myself in the ring with Cody on Dynamite that night. But it makes you wonder. Obviously, there was something going on, and he otherwise felt fine and just chalked it up to, well, I guess, you know, my body just needs time to recover. Didn't think anything of it. And according to Tony Schiavone on his podcast, The very next day. Again, he's on here laughing and joking and telling stories, looking fine, sounding fine. The very next day, he's being airlifted to the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville. And the sense that I get from just, you know, what Schiavone was saying and some of the things that his wife, Amanda, who wanted, you know, asked the company to keep it quiet because Brody wouldn't want that out. Brody wouldn't want people to certainly see him in that condition. I'm not sure he was really communicating or conscious or what his state was. She shared the last text message between them, which was from 2 months ago. So, you know, the impression you get is that literally one day he's here, the next day, whatever happened, and he just never recovered. And again, it doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. And she's been very clear. You know, they were COVID testing him over and over and over again. And it kept coming back negative. And, you know, Chris Jericho said the doctors were baffled. They were frustrated. They were baffled. Best doctors in the world, Mayo Clinic, can't figure out what happened to this guy. It's unbelievable. It's not fair. It's not fair. It doesn't make any sense, but these things rarely do. You probably have a family member or a friend. Something happened to them out of nowhere. Is there an explanation for it? You go through life wondering why. Sometimes there's no answer. As much as certain people and certain journalists may want there to be an answer, sometimes there just is no answer. AEW brought his 8-year-old son, Brody, to TV recently. Obviously, he was there tonight. We're going to get into that. But They brought his son to TV. They put a mask on him. They gave him the name Negative One. Made him an honorary member of the Dark Order. And, you know, that, I assume, hasn't really been explained to me, but, you know, Brody gave the different members of the Dark Order a number. Evil Uno, right? Number one. You had number 5, 10, number 99. Which I guess was for what he explained. Brody actually on the podcast explained that was for Wayne Gretzky. Negative one, his son, right? Makes sense. Negative one, he puts his son before himself. If Brody is zero, then his son would be negative one. But they did a segment after Dynamite a few weeks ago where he pinned Kenny Omega. He pinned Kenny Omega and Justin Roberts announced Brody Jr. as the new AEW champion. And Tony Khan has signed Brody Jr. to a contract, real contract, so that when he is of age, when he's old enough, if this is what he wants to do, and by all accounts, I mean, I think it's safe to say that Brody Jr. is going to end up following in his father's footsteps. He's already doing junior wrestling tournaments, so it's not as if, you know, he had nothing to do with wrestling and his father passed away and all of a sudden he's being thrust in. He is the biggest fan in the world. He's already doing, wrestling in, I don't know if it's state tournaments or what they have him doing. But I think it's safe to say that we know where he's going to end up. And when that time comes, he has an AEW contract and a spot in the company waiting for him. And I think that is just a very cool thing for them to do. And just to kind of wrap this up, When you think about the whole situation and when he passed away, he passed away the day after Christmas. And it doesn't matter what day this would have happened, you know, and there's no good time for something like this to happen, but especially around the holidays, for something like this to happen, you know, as an 8-year-old kid and his brother, Nolan, because Brody had two sons, is even younger than Brody Jr., that's something they're going to associate with the holidays now every year. And that's a terrible thing. You know, when I read the news, I mean, it hit me doubly hard because the day after Christmas, my father would have been 63 years old. And my father passed away a few years ago, but I was in my early 30s when my father died. Brody Jr. is 8 years old. 8 years old. And it just, it breaks your heart. But I thought what AEW did tonight, I thought they did a tremendous job with this show tonight. From top to bottom, you know, they had a whole card planned out for tonight, New Year's Smash week one. That has been pushed back to next week. So everything has been shifted over to the beginning of the year. And tonight was all about the Dark Order. Tonight was all about Brody's family, his son, who was front and center at ringside with his mask on and his kendo stick in his hand. He even booked part of the show, his favorite team. They let him put his own team together for the main event, who were victorious. We're going to get into all that. One really cool thing AEW is doing that I want to just point out to all of you, for those of you who are interested, because I've had a lot of people asking me, is AEW putting together any kind of shirt or anything, you know, in tribute to Brody, you know, anything that is going to be going to the family? And in fact, the answer is yes. And what you see on your screen right now is the AEW tribute shirt to Brody Lee, Exalted in Heaven. It is available right now at shopaew.com. All proceeds go to the family of Brody Lee, John Huber. I had checked the website a little bit earlier on, and it looked like it crashed, which is probably a great thing, but hopefully by now it's working again. So if you would like to support the family, if you would like to pick up a Brody Lee t-shirt, you may do so, unless they sell out. You can go to shopaew.com. Again, a very cool thing that the company is doing, and a pretty cool looking shirt on top of that. So it has been a very depressing few days. But again, I thought AEW did a tremendous job with this tribute. It was very cool to see all of the talent from all over the wrestling world, not just AEW and the independents, but WWE stars up and down my timeline, previewing Dynamite tonight, talking about how tonight they're going to be tuned into TNT, because it's not about us against them. It's not about WWE and AEW. It's about people who knew him and people who loved him and people who worked with him and admired him wanting to pay tribute. Nothing else matters. So it bothers me when I see all of this stuff online about WWE and how they paid tribute to him and should they have done this and should they have done that. And, you know, oh, WWE guys are tweeting about, you know what? If you see that, if you hear that, just ignore it. It's all noise. It doesn't matter. It's not what it's about. It's not important. What's important is what they did tonight. It is only appropriate that the Dark Order had a chance to shine tonight. Brody Lee was brought into this company back in March as the leader of the Dark Order. He was brought in as the Exalted One. We didn't know if it was going to be Brody Lee. We didn't know if it was going to be Matt Hardy. Now, Broken Matt, he was rumored maybe he would be the leader of the Dark Order. Maybe it was going to be somebody else. Maybe Chris Daniels was going to turn on SCU and he was going to be the leader. They kept you guessing. And Brody himself said it broke his heart when the very first show of the pandemic era turned out to be the very week he was supposed to debut in his hometown of Rochester, New York. And he would have gotten a hero's welcome. And he was denied that, because that was the week that they went to Daly's place with no fans, and he made his debut. And Matt Hardy debuted that night as well. But that was Brody Lee's hometown. And what's even sadder is that not only did he not get to debut in his hometown in front of, you know, a packed crowd, you know, he never really got to compete in AEW in front of a full-blown audience. Towards the end, they had a few fans maybe in the building, but he never had the opportunity. He never had the opportunity to step out there in front of 5, 10,000 people. But he made his debut that night. And this was his big opportunity to be a leader and not a follower. He was always, you know, the guy behind Bray Wyatt. He was part of a tag team. He was part of a faction, but he wasn't the leader. He wasn't the face of that group. So many opportunities that he, you know, wanted to take advantage of. He wanted to break out on his own. Felt he never really had the chance to do that. And now finally he was being given the chance to spread his wings and let's see what happens, right? Sink or swim. Can he do it? Can he break out on his own successfully? And the answer to that question was yes. Because within a few months of him debuting, he was wrestling Jon Moxley for the AEW World title in a match that I thought was happening way too soon, but I think was sped up because of the circumstances of the pandemic. And he went out there with Moxley, and the two of them had a tremendous brawl. They beat the hell out of each other back at Double or Nothing. Now, he didn't win. Too soon for that to happen. But I thought he went out there and he held his own and had a very good brawl. And then the highlight of his AEW run came against Cody Rhodes when he won the AEW TNT title. Cody was going away. They had to get the title off of him. They chose Brody Lee. Now, they could have gone in there and had a competitive match. Cody is one of the biggest stars in the company. But instead, Brody destroyed him. Turned him inside out. And one of the funny things, as Cody Rhodes says, said on social media this week, if you remember how that match ended, turned him inside out with a discus lariat. He covered him, didn't hook the leg. But he checked with Cody before the match to make sure he was okay with that. Are you okay if I don't hook the leg? He wanted to pay him that respect and make sure he was okay with that. And Cody said, Big Rig, fine with me. Big Rig is his nickname. And just like that, all of a sudden, Brody Lee, who was leading this faction that really up until that point, you know, in a lot of ways had been booked like a comedy group. You know, there was certainly a lot of humor around the Dark Order. It was not a group that I was ever a huge fan of at that time. And all of a sudden, in 3 minutes, he destroys Cody Rhodes and wins the championship. The Dark Order lays out all the members of the Rhodes family, all the members of the Nightmare family. Stands tall, and I remember watching that thinking that's one of the best endings of Dynamite that they have ever done. They made him look dominant. They made the Dark Order look like a dominant faction, like anything but a joke. He had a match on TV with Dustin Rhodes. You want to talk about ratings? That did over 1 million viewers. I can't explain it, but you know what? I bet he had a big smile on his face when he got the news. He probably was tickled by that. He probably thought that was pretty cool. I had missed a lot of the BTE content that he had filmed. I definitely saw some of it, but not as much of it as I've seen in the last few days. I've gone back and watched it. I appreciate it now more than I did before. He was hysterical. You know, the interplay and the banter with him and John Silver and the throwing the papers, the segment with Sue, right? Trent's mom, where she went to throw the papers at them and she kind of missed and everyone's corpsing on camera and he's trying to hold back the laughter. No, at some point, I think a lot of that humor and wit and personality would have been able to come through on TV, probably would have turned him into a massive babyface once they got fans back in the building. So even though it kind of felt like, well, he lost the title to Cody and that might be it for him for a while, it's kind of back down the card, I do think that at some point there was the potential there for him to get even higher than he was before. There wasn't really going forward in the next six, eight, 9 months a spot for him, I think, in the world title scene. But I think he could have gone a lot higher than he did. And he was in it for the long haul. He loved it in AEW. He was talking that, you know, years from now, he'd be the one booking. But tonight was all about the Dark Order. Those guys, they loved Brody Lee. They believed in Brody Lee. And Brody Lee believed in them. Brody Lee fought for John Silver and Alex Reynolds to get contracts with AEW. John Silver credits Brody Lee with him being employed and having a contract with AEW. Those two guys had a match against Cody and Matt Cardona. And Brody was in the back. He was singing their praises. He was talking about, oh, what a great match. You got to sign these guys. You got to sign these guys. And they ended up getting signed. So they give all the credit in the world to him for why they ended up getting signed. He believed in those guys. It wasn't just, hey, we'll put you with these guys. It's, you know, you're going to be an on-air group. He really was like a mentor to a lot of those guys. And Tony Khan shared a really cool DM. I don't even think it was a DM. I think it was a text message conversation that he had with Brody. And this is what he posted on Twitter. Now, if you look, Tony Khan had texted Brody Lee the night that he won, or maybe it was the morning after he won the TNT title. What I love about this, he congratulates him. And you'll notice Brody Lee, now here's his billion-dollar boss, right? Congratulating him on his big title win. No response. I love it. No response. He leaves him hanging. Tony Khan texts him again because he's watching some of this BTE content with him and John Silver, and he just thinks it's gold and that there's a lot of potential for them to really do something with him and Silver. And he asks him, are you familiar with Raven and Stevie Richards? Stevie Richards was Raven's lackey in WCW, right? Remember the whole the flock faction? And Brody was totally on board. He goes, I love it. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. So who's to say where this would have ended up between them? I'm not just talking on BTE, but I'm talking on TV. He believed in those guys. So it was only appropriate that this was up and down the card. This was a clean sweep for the Dark Order on tonight's show. And yes, for tonight, I was a member of the Dark Order. We have people teasing me every week. Come on, Solo Monster, come to the dark side. Come around to the Dark Order. Tonight, I came around to the Dark Order. All right? I don't know the hand sign. What is that, the hand sign? Tonight was all about the Dark Order. Jim Ross opened the show tonight, very appropriately. It's Wednesday night. You know what that means, which I agree with a lot of people who say that TNT should have the voiceover guy at the very beginning of Dynamite every week before the show starts saying that. It's Wednesday night or it's Wednesday, you know what that means, and then go right into Dynamite. I think that would be very appropriate. They had a 10-bell salute with all of the members of the roster on stage, Brody's wife and his son. I don't know if, actually both sons were on stage. Brody Jr. wearing his Dark Order mask. They rang the bell 10 times. They had comments from John Moxley, who knew Brody going back many years to their days on the independent scene. He said that he's never had a more difficult time coming up with words to say, and that Brody brought joy to wrestling like no other. Said he knew him from bingo halls all the way from there to big stadiums. Now, if you remember, John Moxley and Brody Lee were part of something very special in WWE. I talked about Brody on the podcast on Sunday. One of my favorite matches in WWE in the last decade plus was that first meeting between The Shield and the Wyatt family. Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper. They may not have been the leaders per se, but they were a big part of that match. So they had wars going back from not just the indies, but all the way through WWE. And that was my favorite of them all. So these guys definitely share history together. And he said that Brody Lee inspires all of them to become a little bit better and to appreciate what they have. Because every day, including a day spent with him as a gift, he goes, "I love you, brother, and I'll never forget you." We had Matt Hardy in Private Party taking on the Young Bucks and Colt Cabana, who could not hide the emotion on his face. Colt was a mess, just tears streaming. I mean, you can't blame him. Tears streaming down his face, representing the Dark Order. Chris Jericho was on commentary for the night, loud and obnoxious as always, but trying to inject some levity into the show. We had a Twist of Fate spot by Matt Jackson. Not Matt Hardy, by Matt Jackson to Matt Hardy. Hot tag to Colt Cabana. He took down both members of Private Party. Hardy, at one point, he was directing traffic for his team. They have begun a heel turn for Matt Hardy. Matt is acting more conceited. He has talked about how it's, you know, got to be about me now. And, you know, that kind of played into this match a little bit. He's in there calling the shots and trying to direct traffic and tells Mark Quinn to go up top. Hardy, though, gets knocked backwards into the rope and Mark Quinn gets crotched up top. Hardy and Private Party, they had Nick Jackson beat. Colt Cabana, though, Matt Jackson, they come in, break up the pin. And the big climax here is with the referee distracted, Hardy had a chair in his hand and he wanted to use a chair on Nick Jackson. He's telling Mark Quinn, bring him over here. He's going to whack him with a chair. And Mark Quinn says, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it that way. Well, he should have done it that way because it turned out to be a pretty dumb decision on his part. See, Matt Hardy, he is the veteran. They should listen to the veteran. He didn't listen to the veteran. He paid the price for it. Colt hit the Chicago Skyline on Isaiah Cassidy in the corner. That's the move where Colt is standing on the middle rope, has the guy pressed up, drops him down on the top turnbuckle. Young Bucks hit the Indy Taker to Mark Quinn, and Cabana follow through with the diving Superman pin to win it for his team. Negative One is in the crowd at ringside. Little Brody watching on as he was really throughout the night. Out come the Acclaimed, Anthony Bowens and Max Caster. They got a mic in their hand. And they're here to say something about the Dark Order. But from behind comes Daniels and Kazarian. Now, for those of you who don't watch Dark and did not see that great segment with Kazarian and Daniels about a week or so ago, Daniels was about ready to walk away and retire. Kaz was reading him the riot act about, you know, every time we lose, it's always you taking the fall. I love you like a brother. You're my best friend. You're the best man at my wedding. But, and Daniel says, look, it makes me sick to even get on the plane and come to work. And maybe it's just time for me to walk away. And he went to walk away and Kaz stopped him and said, no. He goes, you and I are a team, but I'm going to tell you something. The next time we lose a match, SCU is over. You and I are no longer a team. All of a sudden, what that does is it makes every SCU match going forward important because the minute they lose a match, SCU is done. Now, I don't know if that includes a six-man tag, an eight-man tag. I assume that's just a regular two-on-two tag team match. But anyway, that's what's going on with SCU. Next match they lose, they're done as a team. But they fight the Acclaimed off. Actually, what they did is they knocked him into the ring. They threw him over the top rope into the ring. Young Bucks hit super kicks, and Colt Cabana hit a pair of bionic elbows to take them out. So I thought the opening match was fun. Not a surprising outcome. Obviously, you would expect Cabana, Dark Order, to go over. But I thought it was a fun opener. We had Darby Allin with a promo talking about Brody Lee and wishing that they had the opportunity to have a match one-on-one. You know, Brody Lee had a match with Orange Cassidy. Might have had more than one. Big guy, smaller guy. Brody Lee was a big guy. You know, wasn't 7 feet tall, but he was a big dude. I think Brody Lee and Darby Allin could have been a fun match. Fortunately, we never got it, but Darby said he was the number one guy he wished he could have wrestled. We had Eddie Kingston, The Butcher, and The Blade taking on Lance Archer, Evil Uno, and Stu Grayson of the Dark Order. Lance Archer was donning the old Luke Harper attire. He had the wife beater, he had the blue jeans, he had the red, I guess, bandana that was hanging out of his back pocket. Eddie Kingston comes out, he's got a microphone in his hand. You never know what this guy is going to say. And he goes, Brody, I love you, I miss you, but I'm going to prove that the Dark Order is nothing without you. And the moment he gets in the ring, a very Brody-esque big boot from Evil Uno gets this match going. There was a great Brody-style boss man slam and pose by Stu Grayson. Stu Grayson was great in this match. Now, look, we could talk about the Dark Order and what you and I may or may not think of the Dark Order. The reality is there are some really talented people who are part of the Dark Order. If there is anything positive for the group going forward, now, I mean, they're without their leader now. I don't know what the future holds. The Dark Order is not going anywhere. I don't know if they're going to bring in Hangman as the new leader because he's kind of been loosely aligned with them. They're going to have to figure out what direction they want to go in. I certainly think that you can have Hangman Page keep that going for a while. Maybe he does, at least temporarily, become sort of a de facto leader. Maybe they don't need a leader. Maybe they don't need a leader. So they have to figure out what they want to do. But Stu Grayson is very good. John Silver, very entertaining. And I hope that this gives them an opportunity now to really break out in an even bigger way. Because these guys came on the show tonight with a purpose. And their purpose was to go out there, and obviously they wanted to pay homage to their friend. But they came out there tonight, busting their ass, wanting to make a statement. Stu Grayson in this match, it's a house of fire. He was awesome. And there was a top rope walk by Lance Archer. He does the old, the Undertaker, old school top rope walk. But he did something I've never seen before. Big guy doing the top rope walk, walking along the top rope, and then into a moonsault off the top rope, which was very cool. I don't think I've seen him do that before. Moonsault onto the blade. Eddie Kingston hit a DDT to Stu Grayson. Grayson kicked out. And for the finish, Archer had the blackout all ready to go on the blade. Right, he had him up for the blackout. Kingston breaks it up. Stu Grayson tags in. Again, house of fire, running wild. And he hit this springboard apron DDT, if you could picture it, to the Butcher on the apron. So from the inside to the outside, keeping it on the apron, DDT's the Butcher, takes him out of the picture, and then he and Evil Uno hit the fatality on the blade for the win. After the match, just to put a little cherry on top of the sundae, Jake Roberts was there. He was in Lance Archer's corner. Jake Roberts gives Eddie Kingston the short arm clothesline. No DDT. I don't know if he'd be able to get back up. Probably better off to leave the DDT alone right now. But he hit the short arm clothesline, got a big pop. payback for Eddie Kingston popping him in the mouth a few weeks ago when he sucker punched him right in the face. This was a ton of fun. This was even more fun, I thought, than the opener. Everybody shined here. We had comments from a whole myriad of different people paying tribute to Brody throughout the night. We had comments from Dax Harwood, Arn Anderson, Colt Cabana, and referee Bryce Remsburg, who was very emotional all night long. Even in the main event, he officiated, very emotional. Knew Brody for a very long time. And he said if there was a Mount Rushmore of wrestling dads, Brody Lee would be on there. So that and Remsburg and the end of the show, those kind of two segments, those two moments are what really kind of hit me in the feels. I mean, this whole show hit me in the feels, but you could just see the pain on his face. And, you know, him talking about how dedicated he was to his family was very special. I want to thank everybody. I know I've not been reading any of the Super Chats yet. I will get to every Super Chat. We're gonna spend some time on that later. We'll talk Brody Lee. We'll talk about Brody Lee if you got comments or questions. I'm going to read every message you send. I appreciate that. I appreciate all of your support. Just got a video up yesterday, actually. Some highlights, about 15 minutes. Highlights from all of the 2020 streams. Some fun moments and phone calls and all that stuff. If you missed it, that is up on the channel. So let me just take a moment here to welcome all of you who are joining me here tonight. I do appreciate you stopping by. Speaking of Hangman Page, who I just got done talking about, Hangman Page was in action against MJF, Santana, and Ortiz. It was actually Hangman Page and the Dark Order against MJF, Santana, and Ortiz. MJF came out wearing a proud and powerful bandana, and he had the Puerto Rican flag on his trunks. So if you ever had a desire to see MJF walking out with his initials on his gear and the Puerto Rican flag, well, you're in luck because you got it on tonight's show. Santana came back a few weeks ago, and Santana just lost his stepfather. Santana lost his father earlier this year. So he lost two dads in 1 year. MJF recently lost his grandfather. So when you really kind of put it in perspective like that, now this, that's a lot of loss. So when you talk about this year and all of this, what a horrible year and all the people that have been lost, just to kind of break it down on kind of a local level here within AEW, got a lot of guys here who have had to endure a lot of shit in recent weeks and recent months. It could not have been easy for them to be out there. I'm sure that was tough. But we had John Silver and Alex Reynolds. They were in this match teaming up with Hangman Page. Silver and Reynolds, they pulled out at the beginning of the match. They pulled out rolls of paper. They pulled out rolls of paper and they threw them at the Inner Circle, which was a recurring thing that Brody Lee would do to both of them, especially John Silver, on BTE. So that was them paying tribute to Brody with the rolled up paper gimmick. I thought that this was up until the end. This was the highlight of the show. I enjoyed this. I enjoyed this very much. They go to break, come back. MJF, throughout this match, is yelling at Negative One. He's taunting him. He's cursing at him. Brody's son is standing there watching all of this. He's got the mask on. He's got his kendo stick. He's watching, and MJF is just healing it up. And I know some people are going to be bothered by that, but we got the big payoff. You had to know it was going somewhere, and it was. But MJF was being MJF in this match. Hangman surprised him with a big boot. He made the hot tag to John Silver. And in comes John Silver like a spitfire, like a little bulldog. He comes in, he goes wild on Santana and Ortiz. And he attacks pretty much every member of the Inner Circle. He's going after everybody. Boom, 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 like a ping pong ball all around the ring. And we finally got, he was cut off by Santana. ended up with a destroyer from John Silver on MJF, who then followed that up with a suicide dive out to the floor. Back in the ring, Silver unfortunately got met with a heat seeker. MJF planted him right into the mat. And Santana and Ortiz hit their combo finisher, but Alex Reynolds broke up the pin, and the referee is distracted. At this point in the match, referee gets distracted. Wardlow is in the ring. Wardlow missed last week due to a family matter. He was back this week. Wardlow attacked Reynolds with a clothesline. All of a sudden, who should come out? Eric Redbeard, the former Eric Rowan from the Wyatt family, Brody Lee's fellow Wyatt family member and his former tag team partner, the Bludgeon Brothers. He makes his AEW debut. He comes out. He attacks Wardlow, sends him to the back. So he takes care of Wardlow. Very cool to see him. And he got a nice reaction, too. You got to know it felt special. I'm sure it felt special for him to be part of this. I don't know if they reached out to him, if he reached out to them and said, please, I would love to be part of this. But it was very cool to see him there. Dark Order hit a whole series of moves to Ortiz, followed by the Buckshot Lariat from Hangman Page. MJF places Ortiz, his foot on the rope to break up the pin. So MJF is outside the ring, and he moseys on over to negative one. He yanks the mask off the head of Brody Jr. This guy is a dick. So he rips the mask off of his head, and Brody, who's got the kendo stick in his hand, he whacks MJF in the head, the safest kendo stick shot you'll ever see. But the kid is 8, so you can excuse it. Whacks him on the head with the kendo stick. MJF takes this big exaggerated bump, and he gets put back into the ring. John Silver hits the discus lariat in tribute to Brody Lee, and he gets the pin on Ortiz. So actually, MJF, he didn't get thrown back in the ring. He got whacked, and then it was Ortiz who took the losing fall. John Silver was a wreck when the match was over. They tried to get him up. He was just bawling his eyes out on the mat. And this was the... I want to show you something here that happened. Because Eric Rowan, Redbeard, call him whatever you want, he came back out when this match was over. He came back out when the match was over with a sign. And you see it on your screen right now. He's celebrating with the members of the Dark Order. And he holds up a sign that says, "Goodbye for now, my brother. See you down the road." And obviously, he was very emotional. He started to cry. You know, this guy, he traveled up and down the roads with him for a very long time. They both got their big break together in WWE. You know, in the Wyatt family. These guys, basically, they came up together. Not on the independents, but in WWE. So those two guys, forever, until the day that he's no longer here, they will always share that bond. I don't know how close they were since they got broken up and since Brody left and you know, Redbeard is kind of off doing his own thing. How often they kept in touch, I don't know. But those two guys, you know, they're brothers. So I'm sure the news hit him pretty hard. It had to be special for him to be part of the show tonight. Watching him holding up that sign and getting all teary, it's, you know, what can you say? It's tough. It's tough to watch. I think in a lot of ways, though, for these guys, it was probably very cathartic for them to be out there amongst their peers, being able to just kind of let it all out. We were given the opportunity to kind of just be let in on it and watch it. And it's tough to watch, but I think that this was, again, outside of probably the very last segment, the highlight of the show for me was this match. I thought it was just a fantastic moment, and even for Brody's son to be able to get involved, you got to know that this kid was marking out. Big smile on his face. Doesn't get any better than that. I mean, think about the last 8 weeks. The last 8-9 weeks that he and his family have had have been awful. The worst thing that you could possibly go through as a family, as a child. These 8 weeks have been absolutely horrible. So for him to be able to go out there and book a main event. And for him to be able to go out there and watch from the front row and be part of the show and get to hit somebody in the head with a kendo stick, this kid had to be on cloud nine. That was a very cool thing for AEW to do, to give him that moment and make him part of the show like that. We had Anna Jay of the Dark Order, number 99, teaming up with her best friend, Tay Conti, who is not a member of the Dark Order, against Britt Baker and Penelope Ford. Ford and Baker had control through the commercial break. Conti and Ford, they took each other down. Simultaneous pump kicks. Down they both go. Before they reach for their partners for the tags, Anna Jay runs wild on Britt Baker. It's a flipping neck breaker. Penelope Ford blindsides Anna Jay with a backstabber. Tay Conti runs in, sends her packing. And Britt Baker catches Tay Conti with a sling blade. Anna Jay, though, catches her with a kick. And Anna was very emotional, trying to hold it together, pointing at the sky, making the Dark Order hand gesture. And she ends up winning the match for her team, puts Penelope Ford in the Queen Slayer sleeper hold. Tay Conti goes and takes care of Britt Baker, takes care of Reba so they can't get involved. And Anna Jay wins the match for her team. Tony Schiavone is then called into the ring by an angry Britt Baker. Get on in here. So Tony goes into the ring, and Britt Baker says that she is sick of the conspiracy around here. She goes, "This is all rigged. Everything is rigged. What you saw tonight is rigged." And she says, "The whole thing was just one big rig." Playing off Brody's nickname, she looks up at the sky, she winks. As she's standing there, here comes Thunder Rosa, who doesn't give a shit about her tributes, and she just attacks her from behind. Big pull apart with the two women. They're going to have a match in 2 weeks. That's week two of New Year's Smash. They're going to go one-on-one on Dynamite. Chris Jericho, who again was doing commentary the whole night, he also did a pre-taped tribute, so they cut to him. And he said he and Brody had worked together 27 times in their career. And one of those times was in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. And Jericho's telling the story of being in his hotel room, and he looks up, I think he said, at the ceiling, and there's a mark on the ceiling, and he didn't know what it was, and it was really annoying him. And he brings Brody into the room, and Brody takes a look at it. And he says, because Jericho thought it was a sticker. And Brody says, "No, that's not a sticker." He goes, "That's an arrow pointing to Mecca." And Jericho says, "Well, how do you know that?" He goes, "Everybody knows that." So he just talked about how basically looks can be deceiving. A big burly guy, but he was very smart, very intelligent, very personable. And one of the best performers in the ring. And he says in the last 6 months of his career, he proved to people that he could hang in the main event. That if you doubted him, if you doubted that he could hang at that level or that he would ever make it to that level, he proved a lot of people wrong. And I think he did prove that he could hang at that level with the match he had with Jon Moxley. Now, yes, he did. After that, he did get knocked down a couple of pegs. He wasn't doing main events. But I think between the match he had with Moxley and that very brief run he had as the TNT champion, the way he just demolished Cody on TV, the way they built him up like this monster, he really was like almost like a modern-day Bruiser Brody, the way he came out of that match. It may have been short-lived, but yeah, you know what? If they wanted to come back around on Brody Lee in 6 months or a year from now and give him a much bigger push, whether it was a heel or a babyface or whatever, you know what? He proved that he could hang at that level. He's not just a background player. He's not just a mute who stands there with the big bulging eyes. You know, he had the big eyes in WWE. It was part of his Titantron. Just a bunch of eyeballs. He's more than just that. And you watch BTE and you see the personality and the sense of humor. And there was so much potential there for him to do more that you didn't even see on TV. I missed half the stuff that he was doing on BTE. So Jericho's absolutely right. All he wanted to do was be given an opportunity to prove himself and to prove that he can be here and not here. And he did that. It just ended way too soon. But he says, Brody, we'll miss you. We love you. We miss you. And he goes, we'll take care of your family and your kids. We promise. And I don't have any doubt that Tony Khan and AEW, I mean, they've rolled out the red carpet to his family so far and his kids. It's very cool to see everybody kind of coming together, you know, banding together like that. It's very cool to see. Main event was the Brody Lee Jr. six-man dream tag team match. He put the babyface team together, I guess three of his favorites, Cody Rhodes, Orange Cassidy, and Preston Vance, number 10 of the Dark Order. They took on Team Taz, Ricky Starks, Brian Cage, and Powerhouse Hobbs. Love seeing all the comments. I'm just trying to keep up with all you guys in the chat. I haven't forgotten about you. This was, again, a team handpicked by Brody's son. So we come out of the break. The only break of the match. We have one more break in the show after this. Cage has the delayed vertical suplex to Orange Cassidy, tags in Ricky Starks, who Chris Jericho said, Jim Ross, would you agree with me on this, that Ricky Starks has a lot of Dwayne Johnson tendencies? The answer is yes, by the way. I agree with that. He pointed out, he goes, in terms of his personality, he goes, in terms of his athleticism. Jim Ross agreed wholeheartedly. I agree. I don't think it's always beneficial to make those kinds of comparisons, because if you start comparing a guy to Stone Cold, or you compare a guy to The Rock or Ric Flair, right? MJF has been compared to Ric Flair. You got to be careful with those comparisons, because those are big shoes to fill. And I think more often than not, you're handicapping a person by saying, oh, he's going to be the next this. That's what happened to Jon Moxley in WWE. When he got hot for that period in 2016 and he became WWE champion, oh, this guy, he's going to be the next Stone Cold. This guy's on fire right now. And I cringed. I said, you're doing this guy no favors by comparing him to one of the greatest, biggest names of all time. And how could he possibly live up to those expectations? Jon Moxley is not the next Stone Cold Steve Austin, Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose is Dean Ambrose. Ricky Starks is Ricky Starks. But yeah, you know what? There are certain characteristics, I think, that are very rock-like. I said that back when he was still in NWA. Ricky Starks may not be the biggest guy on the roster, but he absolutely is going straight up. That's where he's going. But you got to be careful when you make those comparisons. You say, well, Chris Jericho called Ricky Starks the next Rock. He's got some similarities there. Got a lot of charisma. He can talk. I'll tell you that. He's one of the best talkers in that entire company. So is Taz. He doesn't need Taz talking for him. But Ricky Starks is on that list. Anyway, Orange Cassidy makes the hot tag to Cody, who runs wild before a double clothesline takes down Cody and Ricky Starks. Preston Vance, he gets into the match. He fires up, points to the sky, hits the Brody bomb to Ricky Starks, which is just a very hard power bomb that he used to give people. Starks comes back with a spear. Orange Cassidy is back in, DDT to Ricky Starks. Hobbs just comes into the ring. Now, Will Hobbs is just like a friggin', he's built like a brick shithouse, this guy. He gets into the ring. He mows this guy down like a little old lady being run down by a bus because her feet couldn't carry her across the street fast enough, so she turns into roadkill. That's what Hobbs did to this poor bastard here in the ring. Just mowed down Orange Cassidy. And Cage comes in. He gives Cody a flatliner. So now 10 is in. 10 of the Dark Order, Preston Vance. He takes out Cage. Ricky Starks, though, catches him with a springboard DDT for a near fall. Taz has seen enough. Taz grabs a chair. Arn Anderson says, well, if you're going to grab a chair, I can grab a chair, too. So now you got the two guys on stage. One's got a chair. The other's got a chair. We got a little standoff going on stage. Orange Cassidy hits the orange punch to Ricky Starks. Cody hits the crossroads, and he sends Starks into 10 for 10 to hit the spine buster. And Bryce Remsburg counts the three to give 10 the biggest win of his career. I mean, by far. I mean, I don't think this guy's ever been in a main event before on Dynamite, let alone one. So this is the biggest match and the biggest win of 10's career, making it a clean sweep for the Dark Order on the night. Team Taz, they attack all the babyfaces when the match is over. You kind of see where this is going. The lights go out. When the lights come back on, we have a camera up in the stands with Darby Allin, who is going to be defending the TNT title against Brian Cage in 2 weeks. He's up in the stands. He's got his skateboard. Lights go out again. And when the lights come back on, it is snowing in Jacksonville. And it is Sting. Tony Schiavone, of course, gets his big line in. It's Sting! And Sting comes out. He's got the baseball bat. They come walking down to the ring. Again, a very basic appearance by Sting. Doesn't say anything. He didn't even stick around for the final segment or anything. But they did get into the ring with the baby faces. Team Taz decided to retreat to the stage. And that was the end of the segment. Cut to a break. And when they came back, Cody Rhodes is in the ring alone. And he's holding back tears. He's fighting back all the emotion. And he says, you know, Brody was a beautiful man. He's a beautiful man. And he leaves behind a beautiful legacy. And I want to bring out that legacy right now. And he introduces Negative One. And Brody Jr. gets his own entrance. His first AEW entrance. He's wearing the mask. Out comes Brody, and he was very well-dressed, too. 8-year-old kid, he's got the suit, he's got the tie, just like Brody Lee in the Dark Order. Walked around wearing a suit, doing the Vince McMahon thing, or at least that's how it started out. And out comes Brody Jr. with his mother, Amanda. And with them is Preston Vance, who comes back out, and Tony Khan. So they all come to the ring, and this is kind of where, you know, you kind of lose it a little bit. So his son is in the ring, and he's got his father's boots, and he takes Brody Lee's boots and he places them right in the middle of the ring. So, you know, puts his boots and just leaves them right there. And Tony Khan takes the microphone. He's got the TNT title or a replica of it. I don't know. Maybe that was the TNT title. I've heard conflicting things that maybe they're redoing the belt. I don't know if that's true or not. Whether it was the belt or a replica, he's got the TNT title in his hands. And he presents the title to Brody Jr. He calls him the TNT champion for life. And he hands him the title. And you just got this. I should have clipped it, but you've got this great shot of his mom is just, you know, Brody's widow is just in tears. And there's the shot of Brody Jr. in the middle of the ring. He's got the mask on and he's holding the title. He's got the title over his shoulder. He's getting this big ovation. And just the shot of him standing there with that title, it just broke me. That was quite the picture. That was quite the picture. Tony Khan throws it to a very nice video tribute to Brody with footage, nice mix of footage from his independent days. Still photos, no video, but still photos of him from WWE. Photo of him with Eric Rowan when they were the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. They had a picture of him in there. With Bray Wyatt. They had a whole bunch of pictures that a lot of the wrestlers had posted on social media. So you had pictures on there of him with Seth Rollins and Big E and I think Cesaro and just all of these different people, because this guy had friends all over the place, all over the business, across multiple companies. You know, he was friends with everybody. Everybody either knew him, worked with him. It's a very nice video package. Very nice. And obviously a ton of AEW clips in there and footage of his run, which was just far too short. I thought AEW should be commended with the job they did tonight. It was a tremendous show. I thought they did well paying tribute to him and bringing his family in to be part of the festivities. It looks like they've been taking care of the family and trying to make this, you know, his sons, I guess in a way, just kind of take their mind off it as much as possible. It's kind of an impossible thing to do, but I thought they knocked it out of the park tonight. Tonight was not about ratings or storylines or debuts or anything like that. It just wasn't. It had nothing to do with that. Tonight was them paying tribute to someone who should have been a very big part of their company in 2021. Someone who I think, and it was built apparently into his contract, I think he said as much, once things died down with the pandemic and travel kind of opened up a little bit more, no doubt in my mind we would have seen him in New Japan, without a doubt. You would have seen Brody Lee, and I feel like Brody Lee in New Japan would have killed it. He would have killed it. Just imagine, you know, Brody Lee in there with guys like Ishii, Minoru Suzuki. I mean, come on. It would have been a lot of fun to see what he could do over there. I think that was always a dream of his. And unfortunately, it was a dream he never got to fully realize. Next Wednesday is night one of New Year's Smash. Again, it was delayed 1 week because of tonight's tribute show. Snoop Dogg is going to be in the house. I think originally Snoop Dogg was going to be there week two. And so now I think he'll be there week one instead. Hopefully on commentary. And actually Chris Jericho is going to be on commentary again as well. So maybe we'll get Jericho and Snoop Dogg on commentary together. Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross won't be able to get a word in. But he'll be there. Kenny Omega defends the AEW title against Rey Fénix. That should be an incredible match. We were denied that match in the world title eliminator a few months ago when Rey Fénix got concussed, or there was a fear that he was concussed and they just wanted to take him out for his own well-being. Jon Moxley returns to Daly's place in the flesh, not just on video. Hikaru Shida defends the AEW women's title against Abaddon. Young Bucks and SCU take on The Acclaimed and TH2. That is Jack Evans and Angelico. Jake Hager takes on Wardlow. I'm actually looking forward to that maybe more than anything except the world title match. I think Hager and Wardlow, I've enjoyed the interactions with them on TV and in some of those segments, the segments they did in Vegas. I'm looking forward to that match. I see big things for Wardlow in 2021. And Cody Rhodes goes one-on-one with Matt Sydal. So that is coming up next week. And in 2 weeks, Darby Allin defends the TNT title against Brian Cage. So there you go. That is the AEW preview coming up for the next few weeks. No Twitter polls tonight because, again, tonight's not about that. It's not about that at all. So we'll get back to that next week. Again, this is the final AEW review of the year. I want to thank all of you who are tuned in tonight and have supported all of the streams all year long. You guys are awesome. And I am going to play catch up here with all your questions. So let's take some questions. Let's take some comments. Let's see what you guys thought of the tribute show tonight. Again, I really can't say enough good things about how they handled the show tonight. I thought they did a tremendous job. And let me also say this, because now I've been getting a lot of messages and emails from people who are asking me for my opinion or very upset that WWE didn't do more on Monday nights. We don't yet know exactly what WWE has planned. My understanding is that they filmed a lot of stuff backstage on Monday. They are very likely going to be filming a lot of stuff backstage on Friday with the SmackDown crew and the people who knew him. I don't know what that's going to be for. It could be for something on the network. It could be for a bigger video package that they will air on TV the following week. It may be nothing at all. I don't know. It would have been nice to get the 10 bell treatment. There are so many people in that company. I can tell you, and you could tell just by scrolling on social media, You don't have to be backstage working for the company to know this. That entire company was devastated when the news broke about what happened to Brody Lee. And to a T, everybody from main eventers all the way down were just beside themselves with grief and sadness when they found out about what happened to him. It's not very often that we have somebody like that, as young as he is, who is part of the active roster. I feel like we went through a period for many years where this was far too common, but it's been a while, I think, since we've had somebody at that level on the active roster for, you know, one of these companies just pass away. And so it hits a little bit differently. Every single person in that company, if you would have asked them, they would have been front and center on that stage on Monday night. They opted not to do that. That's their prerogative. But let's see what they have in mind. Again, they're filming, or they have filmed a lot of stuff. I would think they're going to put something together. It's going to air somewhere, maybe on YouTube, maybe on the network. But I'm not going to sit here and get angry about it, because it's not worth getting angry over. You know, they do whatever they're going to do. It was all about the AEW tribute show, because he was the one who was actively working for the company. And as far as what WWE chooses to do and chooses not to do, you know, look, ultimately it's their call. If it were me, I know what I would have done, but it's not worth getting angry over. I don't think we need to get angry this week. This week is not about getting angry. Shouldn't be about that. We can put that anger on the side for 1 week. So let me switch over here, because we got Super Chats. Actually, before I even do this, you don't see them yet, but before I do that, let me show you this, because tomorrow's going to be a big night, and I hope you all can join me. Tomorrow night, we get together on YouTube live at 10 p.m. Eastern, and we say, to hell with 2020. Fuck this year. We're going to ring in the new year together here on the Sound Off channel. It's Sound Off Inbox, where I'm going to be answering your questions. I got a whole bunch of email questions I've been pulling all week long, and Super Chats will be open. Maybe we'll do calls, maybe we won't, but we're going to count down to midnight, at least here on the East Coast. We got people from all over the world who are going to be tuned in, so it's very possible that a lot of you are... You guys are, in a lot of cases, going to maybe already be celebrating the new year before I am in New York, or if you're on the West Coast, you know, your new year is going to come a little bit later. But anyway, 10 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night, we'll be on the air for at least a couple of hours, and I hope you guys will join me. It's going to be a fun night, and I look forward to ringing in the new year with all of you. I've never done a New Year's stream before, so we're gonna sound off into 2021. And say, fuck you to 2020, which I think we're all pretty much ready to do. Are we all in agreement on that? That we're done with this year? We're finished? Enough? No mas? I tap out? I'm done? No more of this crap? I think we all feel the same way. So let me go back here. Boy, we got a lot of Super Chats. We got a lot of messages to go through. I'm going to read each and every single thing you guys send me. Here we go. All right. Now we're all caught up. So we start with Jackalope Music. That Eric Rowan spot brought tears to my eyes. Rest in peace, Brody. Yeah, like I said, that was probably outside of the segment with his son at the very end. For my money, anyway, that was the highlight of the night. It really was. It really was. That was very special. Oz and Glorious. No, not Oz and Glorious. Nayef. I don't even know where I am. Nayef Alsafar, thank you, man, for the 10 spot. Andrew Joylog. Wow, with the $40. Thank you. Thank you, sir. That opening shot with his wife and sons with the whole AEW roster got to me. John Huber was truly loved and respected. That he was. Nayef again. With the $5 drop. Food Hive. Haven't been here lately, but I'm back because I needed the chat this week more than ever. Rest in power, Mr. Brody Lee. Join the Dark Order. Prince Walker, amazing show, and LOL at MJF's... Oh, I didn't see his tweet. I'll have to check it out. I don't know what MJF said. In the chat, let me know what MJF said. What did he say now? I can only imagine. Magician Sapphire, beautifully well-produced and emotional Dynamite tonight. Unlimited respect to Brody's family and AEW stars for soldiering through it. Reaganomics 813. Hard to see the Dark Order as heels again after tonight. I won't be rooting against them. That is for sure. And look, that could be a silver lining coming out of the tribute show tonight, is the fact that all these guys that Brody was pulling for, and again, got helped get some of their jobs for them. He wanted to see them do well. He wanted to see them succeed and thrive and become big stars. And maybe now this will give them a boost that they were missing before. I can't think of a better way to pay respects to Brody Lee than for Brody Lee's crew to really break out and go on to big things. JC Zephyr, great tribute show tonight. I was marking out for Eric Rowan. And how many times have we said that? I mean, let's be honest. Eric Rowan showing up and hands the Silver Reynolds Hangman versus Inner Circle match was the match of the night. Jacob Donnelly, what's going on, Jacob? What an absolutely beautiful episode. Have not felt this way about a passing since Eddie Guerrero. I will truly miss Brody. What did MJF say? Let me see here. What? He tweeted, F that kid. Okay, well, that's for MJF, that sounds about right. That sounds about right. The guy's a heel. The guy, no, he gets it. MJF, he just gets it, man. He gets it. If I tell you some of the things I saw on the Jericho cruise, the things that I overheard as he was meeting some of these fans, especially certain fans that, you know, they brought to the front of the line because they were in a wheelchair or there was something, you know, there was something about them that, you know, they wanted the wrestlers just to kind of give them that extra attention. I won't get into all of it here, but the guy's a heel. The guy lives the gimmick. Prince Linksy. Absolutely beautiful show dedicated to Brody Lee and his family. My heart goes out to them. Remember to be thankful for every day and love the ones who are close to you. Much love to you all. Yeah, I mean, I said it on the podcast on Sunday. Tomorrow isn't promised. So make the most of today. It's so true. So true. Cody James, rest in peace, Brody Lee. Heaven better watch out for flying papers. That's right. And discus lariats. Adrian Short, this reminded me of the Raw after Eddie Guerrero died, which is my... it's funny. Everybody's mentioning Eddie Guerrero. I don't know if you could see it, but I got the... got an Eddie Guerrero shirt on tonight. Thought it would be kind of appropriate. Representing Eddie. I think we all miss Eddie. Eddie was great. Deadpool, James Herrera. Be safe. Take care, everyone. James is turning 30 in just a few days. The big 3-0. He asked me, he sent me an email question. He asked me, he goes, you know, I'm turning 30 in a few days. What can you tell me about when you turn 30? And I wanted to say, well, it hasn't happened yet, but I'll let you know when it does. And then I said, no, I won't say that. And I did tell him that my 30th birthday was... And actually, you know what? I think I'm wrong. I think it was actually my 28th birthday, but I'll share this anyway. My birthday was going great, actually. And I invited like everybody I knew. I just wanted to invite all of my friends. I had like different groups of friends who didn't even know each other. I just wanted one night where everybody came out. We went to like a sports bar in Manhattan. And I'm like, oh man, this is going to be great, right? And at the very beginning of the night, I'm having a great time. my cousins showed up, my friends from school, my friends from work and from here and there. And what happens is when it's your birthday and the night is all about you, what do people want to do? Well, you're at a bar. They want to buy you drinks. Well, it would be awfully rude of me to say, well, nah, you know, I can't have that, but thank you. Especially if they've already bought it. You've got to drink it. So I committed the cardinal sin, a rookie mistake. I was mixing drinks. You don't do that. You do not mix drinks. If you're going to have whiskey, then have whiskey and maybe a beer. Do not do what I do. Do not do what I do. Do not do what I did and have whiskey and then go to beer and then go to this and then go to a shot of Jaeger. And then, hey, let's try this. And, oh, got pickle juice shots. Let's do that. Back and forth. The next thing I remember was I woke up. I don't know how I got home. I found out later, but I woke up. And then I remember I threw up on myself. And I think I was basically bedridden for the next 2.5 days. And I wanted to die. So I learned my lesson after that birthday. It doesn't matter if you think you're being rude to somebody. Just say no, because you'll be better off for it. But you know what? Up until that point, I was having a grand old time. I was having a great time. And I don't remember anything else. So, James, don't do what I did. Whatever you do, that's my advice to you, buddy. Do not do what I did. And don't ever have a pickle juice shot, because it is the fucking nastiest shit in the world. I don't know why people drink it. Or what the obsession is with it. There are people who love it. I figure I'll try it. Ugh, fucking gross. I don't get the appeal. You will never see me doing that. I promise you that. I like pickles, but I like eating them and not drinking them. Those are two totally different things. Let's see here. Tamara Davis, no message. Just rest in peace, Brody Lee. Andre in the chat says, don't ever mix Hennessy, beer, and wine. Yes. Silver Rule says, do not mix darks and lights. I feel like that's all I was doing all night. I was going from dark to light, dark to light, and no water. Always important that you hydrate. Very important. I made that mistake, and I will never make that mistake again. Prince Walker, if you think about it, he left his wrestling children, he helped every single member of the Dark Order grow and evolve. He did. He really did. Actually, one of the cooler things, Tony Schiavone shared this story. When Brody won the TNT title, Tony Schiavone, I guess, after came in the ring. I don't remember exactly, but I guess he came in the ring and he was doing an interview with the new champion, and Brody, I guess, kind of crouched down, or he knelt down to come down to the microphone. And when they got to the back, Brody was so ecstatic that he got interviewed by Tony Schiavone, he just thought it was the coolest thing. And he asked him for his feedback, and Tony said, well, actually, there's one thing that you kind of did wrong. And he said, well, what? He goes, you're a big guy. You'd never lean down to me. It's my job to pick the mic up to you. You don't come down to my level. I come up to yours. And he was blown away by that piece of advice. He goes, you know, I never thought of it that way. He goes, that's tremendous. Thank you so much. So then later on, Tony was texting with Cody. And Cody said, you know, John just has been talking about that piece of advice you gave him and how he just appreciates it so much. And he just loved it and thought it was the coolest thing. So that was special for Schiavone. He says he was really starting to bond with Brody Lee and get to know him a little bit more. And then all of this happened. If you go watch that podcast that they did the day before he got sick, he's asking Tony Schiavone questions. He's going, does it ever dawn on you, like, all of the big moments that you've been part of in wrestling from the early 80s to now? Like, it's almost like he was morphing into John Huber, the fan, asking Tony, like marking out because, oh my God, I'm talking to Tony Schiavone. It was very cool. Very cool. Again, if you haven't seen that interview, I would recommend going back and checking it out. A. Lavelle. John Huber, rest in peace. Thank you for all your amazing in-ring memories, for some outside the ring as well, for kids and family. Anima Master. I bet that nobody here left AEW Dynamite without tears in their eyes. Rest in peace, John, Luke Harper, Brody Lee Huber. I wish I could have met you in person. Food Hive, what's your take on Bruce Mitchell's comments? We're not talking about that jerk off tonight. So we're not going to give him any oxygen tonight. Tonight is not about Bruce Mitchell or Mark Madden or any of those other bozos I've seen on social media. This is about Brody Lee. Rodimus Prime, such an amazing tribute show. The ending had me in tears. Andrew Pollard, a beautiful tribute if I've ever seen it. Condolences. Oh, my goodness. Well, there is that Ultimate Warrior Super Chat, that very deformed Ultimate Warrior Super Chat from the Murder Hawk, dropping $2. Thank you, Murder Hawk. Wow. Boy, I can't imagine why people have such a negative opinion of some of these video games, some of these WWE games when they come out. That super chat will never not stop me in my tracks. It's just, I look for certain characteristics in super chats when I pick them out. That one just stood out to me. Anyway, what was I saying? Who was I talking about? There's another one. So I'll read it from over here. Andrew Pollard says, condolences to the Huber family. Brody Jr. has a bright future ahead of him. Rest in power, John Huber. Dry chicken without flavor. What a great Brody Lee tribute by AEW. Jarrett M. with the $55. I was just talking to Jared by email the other day. Thank you, Jared. Happy New Year to Jared. I hope Jared will be with us tomorrow night for the New Year's stream. Level 20, Facto Tomb with the $50 Super Chat drop. The big 5-0. Wow. I remember super chatting you after his TNT loss that I hoped that moved him to bigger and better things. I wish I was right, as that meant we would still have him. When it's all said and done, just enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Great show. You know what? That's very true. It is later than we all think. We all think we have all the time in the world, right? We're all young and we're all full of piss and whatever else we're full of, right? We got our lives ahead of us and maybe not. Maybe not. John Silver. I don't think that John Silver, but John Silver with the $5. You say there are a lot of questions that were left unanswered. Do you think if Brody lived on, he would have eventually become AEW champion? You know, it's so hard to say, but do I think that he was in that company for the long haul? I do. And the longer he stuck around, I think the better his chances would have been of holding that title. Kenny Omega is going to hold on to that title for a long time. And then I think people like Hangman will have their shot. Cody, I know he's technically not allowed to. I still think he'll end up the champion one day. Do I think Brody eventually would have been the champion? Probably. I mean, he had the tools to be. I think he could have been a great babyface champion. I think eventually all of his antics and everything with the Dark Order, I think it would have probably turned him babyface. So, yeah. I think eventually. I think he was a lifer in that company. I really do. Gotta remember, the guy was 40 years old. So, I don't know how many years he had left on his contract, but if AEW is here for a long time and he's happy where he is, and he was already talking about one day, I want a book. I'm going to take the book away from Tony Khan. Clearly, he had a lot of plans of things he wanted to do in that company. I'm sure being world champion was one of them. Ian Israel, thank you, man, for the $2. Coggies, there we go. Thank you for your awesome podcast this weekend. It was a great surprise getting a shout-out from my iTunes review. I am Jay Coggs over there. Looking forward to the New Year's Eve stream. Yeah, Jay Coggs left me a very nice review on iTunes that I am very appreciative for. Always helps to get 5 stars in a review on iTunes, so thank you for that. Oz and Glorious, thank you for the tremendous tribute episode to Brody Lee. Tonight was incredibly moving and well done. Rest in peace, Mr. Brody Lee. AEW for life. Eric Fisher, rest in peace. Jonathan Huber. Roderick Welch with the $50 super chat drop. Rest in peace, John Huber, better known as Brody Lee. And to you, Solid Monster, thank you for all that you do. Unfortunately, I work as a truck driver like your father. It does not allow me to listen to your content as often. Still very much appreciated. Happy holidays to you and your... Well, thank you. That's very nice, Roderick. I appreciate that. I always love hearing from a truck driver. My dad was on the road quite a bit. My dad had what he thought was his dream trucking job for many years when I was a kid. He worked for a frozen food company, so that was really primarily what he was hauling. But he would be home on most nights for dinner. Then in, I think it was 1997, 1998, somewhere around there, a company went out of business. He never planned for that. He never expected that day would come. And it was hard. After that, it was very hard. I mean, he bounced around to a few different jobs and he'd be on the road for 2 weeks at a time, come home for 2 days, back on the road. It was worse than being a WWE guy, except he didn't have to take bumps. Although he did have to load and unload heavy cargo off the truck, but he'd be on the road for weeks at a time. I remember one day getting a phone call, or my mother did. My mother got a phone call, and all I heard was she was just hysterically crying, and I couldn't imagine what was going on. And I remember walking into the living room, and she collapsed on the floor. She's got the phone in her hand. You think the worst. And come to find out that he was driving, I don't know if he was in his truck, and I think there might have been another truck, maybe in front of his. Something fell off the back of the truck in front of him. It was like a long, I don't know if it was a log or a beam or what it was, and it came right through the windshield on the passenger side. So if it had come through the windshield on the driver's side, that would have been it. Scary. I'm sure he had a lot of stories that he never shared of being on the road. But always, always good to hear from you, Roderick. I appreciate the support. Reekon Sun, long time no see, Solid Monster. I'm so happy I got to see Brody wrestle live against The Shield at Elimination Chamber 2014. What an amazing match. That is very cool that you got to be there live for that. See, that's one of those shows that I look back on and say, if I had to make a list of like the 10 or 15 shows that I wish I could have been at, I think that might be on my list to be part of. I mean, those people in the building that night were chanting, "This is awesome," before the match even started. It's one of those special nights that you just wish you can be in the audience for, just to be part of that reaction. Very cool that you got to be there for that. Reekon Sun. Oh, Reekon Sun, look at this. Showing his face here in the chat. Long time no see. I'm so happy I got to see Brody wrestle live. I just read his super chat. Well, look, my mind is going. See, when you get older, your mind begins to go. My brain is turning to mush. Don't hold it against me. Dry Chicken, love the fact that Lance Archer was wearing the blue jeans and the tank tops to pay homage to John Huber's WWE attire. JKin62, request for a 20-second Josh Matthews impression. I don't know if tonight's the night for that. I don't know about that. I'll tell you what, though. Remind me tomorrow night on the stream or next week. Or shoot me an email later, maybe, and I'll hold on to it, and maybe I'll do it tomorrow. I don't feel like I just now is not a Josh Matthews mood for me. I'm sure you understand. GV2186, Harper against Orton is still a favorite of mine. Yeah, you know what? I kind of neglect that sometimes. That was good. That whole storyline, you know, when we talk about the potential that he had, that was a main event storyline in WWE, and he could have easily been part of that going into WrestleMania that year. So the potential was always there. No one is saying that Luke Harper would have been in the position that Roman Reigns or John Cena are in, but definitely could have gone higher than he did. You can understand his frustration. The guy was, when he left WWE, he was 39, going on 40 years old. And you probably see that window, it's closing in. And then you're saying, well, I may never get this time back. If it's now or never for me. For so long, he wanted out of the company and they wouldn't let him go. So I'm glad he at least had those 6 months or however many months it was that he got to show what he could do in AW. Brian Mahoney, I think that John Silver is going to be a major deal for AEW when crowds are packed again. I think he is going to get so over. He's already over. John Silver is one of those guys, you know, we talk about how over Hangman Page was and Darby Allin is. When you get crowds back in the buildings at like full capacity, John Silver, I mean, that could be a ways down the road. So who knows where things are going to be. But John Silver, absolutely. He's one of those. Again, I hate making these comparisons, but it reminds me of the Daniel Bryan thing where he's like this underdog, scrappy underdog. People believe in him so much. They want badly to see him succeed. And I think that you're right. Absolutely. He would be over like anybody else, really. Over like gangbusters on that roster. Michael Hilliard, AEW is the definition of a class act. Rest in peace, Brody. Prince Walker, AEW just confirmed they are making a new title. Well, there you go. We are apparently getting a new TNT championship. There it is. Straight from AEW. Professor John Gotti. Tony Schiavone confirmed on the post show that the TNT title is getting retired. A new TNT title is in the works. Spanish Goddess, that was a beautiful tribute. Rest in peace, Brody. I am still crying about Brody's death. Khalid Adam, rest in peace, Brody Lee. Show tonight, has Rowan signed? I don't know. We probably will find out in the days ahead if he did, because AEW usually puts a graphic up on their social media letting people know that so-and-so is all elite. I'm going to guess that this may have just been a one-off. Maybe now they'll have discussions about something, but I think tonight was really just about Brody Lee. Lords of Gotham, ENT, with the $20. Thank you. Wrestling DeLorean podcast just announced that they will match any contributions to the Huber family by showing proof of purchase of the Brody Lee tribute t-shirt on shopaew.com. Again, that is the Wrestling DeLorean podcast. That is very cool. Rizzo, are you are the best at giving these wrestler eulogies. Ugh. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because I hate doing it. I wish I didn't have to do that. I really don't. It sucks to have to do it. I tried when I talked about Brody on the podcast on Sunday. Now, the news broke on Saturday. So I had everything laid out for the Sunday podcast. Pages of just, okay, here's what we're going to talk about, or here's the results from Raw and SmackDown, and here's all the history bullets and mailbag question. Everything was just perfectly, and then just poof, blown up. And it's like, there's so many thoughts going through your head. Well, I want to talk about him as a family man. I want to share personal anecdotes that people on social media who knew him are sharing. But I also want to get into his career, but it's not appropriate to talk about this. Do we talk about... And at the same time, you're in shock because it wasn't real. It didn't feel real. I thought when I first heard the news that it was a sick joke until I went on the AEW Twitter and I saw it was real. And then it just... You know, the emotions just sort of pour out. 41 years old, what the hell happened? I thought he was out with an ankle injury, and now the guy is dead. What? How do we go from point A to point B? It didn't make any sense. So I didn't have a whole lot of time to even really think about everything I wanted to say, and I just didn't want to leave any important stuff out. So that's why when I put the link up, I said, I just hope I did it justice. You know, with those 30 minutes, I hope I did the man justice by talking about his life and his career, because it was still so fresh in everyone's minds. You're just sort of numb to the news. It just doesn't feel real. But I appreciate that. I'm glad that people enjoyed it. I don't know if enjoy is the right word, but thank you. That means a lot. JWD, still stuck in quarantine. Been running through the year 99 on the network. Definitely a better time for Raw, except for the Bulldog coming back. Yeah, that was the blue jeans phase of the British Bulldog. He was not in a good way. Health-wise, physically, he was not in a good way. Isaiah Webb, would a Dark Order title push be received organically, or would it get a forced comparison to the idea of Rey getting pushed because of Eddie? I wouldn't jump right into it. Then it kind of feels forced. But I think organically it can get over on its own, because you have a guy like a Stu Grayson and a John Silver, who, if you had people in the bill, and they had a lot of people there tonight. They said tonight was the biggest crowd since the start of the pandemic shows. So I don't know if that's 1,000, if that's 1,500. It definitely sounded louder than it normally sounds. So they had a lot of people there tonight. But I think that the Dark Order getting a tag team title push is something that's going to happen. But would I sort of thrust them right into it immediately? Probably not right away. I think they just have to get their kind of heads around where the Dark Order goes from here. Do they want the Dark Order to have a central figure, like a figurehead leader? One person, it's funny, we saw Rowan tonight. I got an email from somebody asking me, do you think Eric Rowan should be the new leader of the Dark Order? And I thought that was a bad idea, because I don't know that Rowan, frankly, would be good in that role. That's number one. But number two, it just is so blatant. I mean, so because they were tag team partners, you bring him in and just make him the leader of the group. I didn't like that idea. Now, if they're going to work something out where he comes into the company, maybe he even comes into the company and becomes a member of the Dark Order. That doesn't mean he becomes the leader. Okay, you know, that could work. But just the idea, let's make Eric Rowan the leader of the Dark Order. Well, why? Like, there's got to be a really good reason for that to happen. And can he do that? Can he carry a leader position like that in the group? I mean, these are the kind of questions that they have to figure out. But like I said, I just, you don't want anything to come off as being terribly forced. I just don't think that's a good idea. Could Rowan, again, be part of the group? Maybe. And I think people would kind of understand that. But Eric Rowan is the leader? I don't think so. JC Zephyr, your quote on your video made me think so much these past few days. Oh, on the tribute video. Yeah. You're talking about the tomorrow isn't promised. Yeah. It's true. That's why I said it. Unfortunately, I've lost family members, and I've thought that for many years. And anytime I hear about somebody dying at a young age, it just reinforces the idea. Tomorrow isn't promised. Make the most of today. So true. Jared with the $5. Again, thank you, Jared. Tomas BR, great show and great tribute. I didn't cry because I'm a heartless son of a bitch, but still, I think the Dustin S7 might be the new leader of the Dark Order. Interesting. So Dustin had already rejected their offer to be 7. Would he have a change of heart now? You could do that, I guess. I mean, he is a veteran. He could cut a hell of a promo. We know that. He can talk. But that would mean him switching away from the Nightmare Family. I don't know if they want to do that. Dry Chicken, I'll take with me the memories to be my sunshine after the rain. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. By Boys to Men, rest in paradise, Brody. Dirk Dastardly with the $10. Thank you for that. Terrible Trey 89. God rest Brody's soul, and thank you, Solid Monster, for all your hard work. I tune in every review. Keep up the great work. Thank you. I hope you will join us for New Year's Eve tomorrow night. The Murder Hawk, who we mentioned a little bit earlier. Brody and AEW showed that Vince missed Big Rig. Rest in peace, Brody Lee. Pedro Velasquez. Yeah, Solid Monster. Fuck 2020. One of the worst years for sure. You say this way better than Michael Cole in the network ad. Cole is super cringe at times. Dirk Dastardly again. Dropping some love. Lone Wolf. I tried to keep it together until Eric Rowan came out and is a father of four. The last segment with Brody Jr. got me even more. Oz and Glorious. Tony Khan just tweeted that he bought the rights to the Tom Waits song in the tribute video so it would last forever. Shout out to Tony Khan. Oh, that's very cool. That is very cool. I did forget to mention the song. So there you go. That was the tribute song at the end of the show. KM Truth, I could only wish WWE had bought, I was going to say, buy Enter Sandman, so when every time the Sandman segment gets replayed from One Night Stand, they didn't have to splice in some generic music, but I think the rumor was like Metallica wanted like $10 or $12 million for the rights for them to use the song or something, so I'm sure it was something ridiculous. I don't blame them for not paying it. It's like a fucking ransom. I mean, at that point, it's like you literally are asking to like pay ransom for the song. As annoying as it is to go back and watch that and have the music dubbed out, I could kind of get why they wouldn't want to pay for it. But yes, that is a very, very nice thing for Tony Khan to do. KM Truth, I haven't been this emotional over a wrestler passing away since Eddie passed. I thought I would never go through that again. Rest in peace, Brody Lee. Turtlehead, I'm hoping Big Red comes in and leads the Dark Order. Well, here we go. I mean, I was just talking about this. But he treats them way nicer than Brody, and they can't take it. Maybe. I mean, look, there's always potentially a clever way to go about doing these things. I guess my whole thing is I wouldn't just, it's almost, you know, here's the reason why I don't think we're going to see a new leader of the Dark Order, at least not for a while. I don't know that they're going to want to replace Brody Lee so quickly. It would almost smack of disrespect in a way. I mean, can you really picture them replacing Brody Lee? I mean, maybe after a period of time, but I wouldn't expect there to be a new leader, at least not for a while. So, Eric Rowan, though, coming in and almost being the polar opposite of Brody Lee, it could work. I mean, I'm not convinced that Rowan would be good in a role like that. It's like I look at a guy like a Wardlow. Wardlow is the silent type on Dynamite, right? Big guy, he kind of wrecks shit. But do you picture a guy like Wardlow or Jake Hager as a leader of a faction? Probably not. Right, some guys are not wired that way. Some guys don't necessarily have the maybe promo skills to be able to deliver in a role like that. I guess with Rowan, we've really just never really had the chance to see him in that role. We've seen him with a fucking Rubik's Cube. We've seen him with a fucking toy spider. We've seen him with a giant mallet. We've never seen Eric Rowan in any kind of a leadership role. So I just can't picture it. Jose TV, Harper is a main event level guy. He is the full package. Prince Walker just read that the actual belt is what they gave to Brody Jr. So yes, it is official. There will be a new title, and it better have a white strap. Prince Walker, look at this. With the Cameron Grimes super chat. I won't do the Josh Matthews tonight, but I'll always have time to give a good old Cameron Grimes. Brian Mahoney, how impressive is Anna Jay with her current experience level? I don't want to overreact, but she has unlimited potential in any women's division. She is still very young. She is still very inexperienced. She's coming along You know, she's learning the ropes. She's another one who probably looked to Brody Lee as something of a mentor. I'm sure she probably got a lot of good advice from him, learned from him. But again, she's still very, very young. So there's definitely time for her to, you know, kind of morph into something even better than she is right now. You know, tonight she was good in the tag team. I thought the women's tag match was, it didn't stand out to me like the match with the Rowan interference and Silver and Reynolds, but she was fine, I thought, in the match tonight. Boots with the $51 super chat. Not 50. 51. It's like those people on The Price is Right. How much do you bid? I bid $500, Bob. And then the guy next to him wants to be an asshole. How much did this guy bid? 500. I bid 501. I would strangle that guy. I hate when people do that on The Price is Right. I hate it. But I would be the guy who votes $1 and assumes that everybody else just overbid. So I'll just bid $1. But yeah, if you ever watched I haven't watched The Price is Right in a while. But I have been watching old Bob Barker episodes because there's an entire channel on Pluto TV devoted to nothing but Bob Barker episodes of The Price is Right from like the early 80s. And I was watching the other day and this guy, I think he bid like $600 or something. And then the guy's like $601 and the guy won. Strangle that person. Thank you, Boots. He says, I think Colt Cabana could be the leader of the Dark Order. Colt would probably be next in line. Colt probably is the next kind of, really, he is the next big name down, really, from Brody Lee. Colt could assume those responsibilities. He could. It's possible. And I think we are finally caught up. I think we are. Oh, yeah, GV in the chat. He loves that super chat with Vince's reaction to Linda's speech. See, he's not reacting to Linda's speech. He's reacting to all the money that she basically pissed down the drain. $100 million out of their bank account. That's where that look and that expression on his face comes from. You gotta understand why Vince would look so sullen in that super chat. Then you understand. All right. So that was fun. Thank you for all the nice Brody Lee messages. It sounds like we're all pretty much in agreement tonight. We all, I think, are pretty happy with the job that AEW did. I thought they did right by Brody tonight. They paid tribute to him in a very classy way. Very cool to see. Oz and Glorious has a message coming in. The Brody Lee tribute shirt just became the highest selling shirt of 2020 on Pro Wrestling Tees in under 4 hours. What was the other shirt? They had a shirt recently that became the highest selling shirt. Was it the Sting shirt? I think. Was there a new Sting shirt? There was. So Brody Lee's shirt just beat Sting's shirt and became the highest selling shirt of the year, which is pretty cool accomplishment. I mean, I said before when I went to the website, Shop AEW, it was down because people crashed the site, at least for a few minutes. There was so much traffic. So not really surprising to find out that that's the case. Very cool to see. Brian Becerra with the $5. Just got home from work and about to watch Dynamite's tribute to Brody Lee. Rest in peace, John Huber. Bryant is in store for a very emotional, but a very, very good show. So again, next Wednesday, things will be back to normal. It's going to be night one, week one of AEW New Year's Smash. That's going to be running opposite NXT New Year's Evil. But we'll be here talking AEW, not NXT. I usually save NXT for the Sunday podcast. For those who don't know, you should be listening to the full podcast available on all those fine podcast platforms you see down below. And more, there's a new one that we can add to the list. The logo's not there yet, but we are officially on Amazon Music. So if you would like to listen on that, if you use that app, we are now on Amazon Music. So that is very cool. So thank you again for all of your support. And I think what we'll do here, we're about 2 hours in. I think we're going to wrap it up because I think we're just about done here. I got a lot of work to do for tomorrow night's stream. Again, it's going to be all about hanging out with you guys and taking your questions. So we're going to be talking about everything tomorrow night. We're going to be talking about stuff from wrestling today, wrestling from years ago. If you've got non-wrestling questions that you want to ask. Again, I got most of the email questions already pulled and lined up, but maybe I'll grab a few more. And we'll do super chats, maybe some phone calls. We will ring in the new year together. We will say goodbye. We will say kiss my ass to the year 2020. Tomorrow night, it is the to hell with 2020. I love it. I love it. Thanks to Steve Mello for the artwork. He knows me so well. I didn't even ask for the whole horror thing in the upper left-hand corner. He knows me. Get a little Freddy, little Jason Voorhees, little Michael Myers. I think that's Leatherface. I didn't ask him, but I'm pretty sure that's Leatherface on the right-hand side. Never really a big Leatherface fan, but I respect him. I respect a good kill in those movies, so he's got my respect. Anyway, hit that thumbs up button. I would very much appreciate that. And again, tonight was all about Brody Lee. He will be missed. He will not be forgotten. He impacted a lot of people. I have never seen the outpouring of support for a wrestler amongst his peers the way that we have seen for Brody Lee in the age of social media. I mean, I can imagine that if there was Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all these things back when Owen Hart passed away, and if it was more prolific even when Eddie Guerrero passed away, I think we would have seen something comparable. And he was put on that level. You could tell the impact he had on so many people who considered him a friend, loved working with him, loved his family, his kids, when he would bring his kids to the shows. You know, you're used to when somebody passes away, people say a lot of nice things about them. Chris Jericho said that tonight. You know, when people pass away, you look for the best in them. You want to pay your respects. You want to be nice. But in this case, you really do get the impression that there was nobody who had a bad word to say about Brody Lee, about John Huber. Everybody had a story to share. Everybody had a photo. Everybody had a video. Everybody had something, some kind of personal experience to share that was positive. And it just makes me wonder, you know, why is it always the good ones who get taken around? You got people on the earth who were just scum of the earth human beings. I feel like those people lived to a ripe old age in their 70s and their 80s and their 90s. Like, those are the people that are going to outlive us all. How come they get to stick around and somebody like a Brody Lee gets taken so soon? Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. It makes you wonder. But the impact he left, he's got nothing to be ashamed of. Hashway, thank you. Happy New Year to you too, Hashway. I appreciate that super chat. That's an international super chat right there. Happy New Year to you, sir. And Happy New Year to all of you in the chat. I will see you tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern, live right back here on YouTube.com. Hit that thumbs up, hit that sub button when we go live. You'll get the notification. We'll ring in the new year. We'll drink and be merry and all that fun stuff. Until next year, New Year's Smash, week one. I am the Solemn Monster. Rest in peace, John Huber. And always remember, tomorrow is not guaranteed. So make the most of today.